How's it going, everybody? And welcome to another edition of the Hoop Jack Podcast Series. I'm your host, Christopher Armistead, and with me is my man, LeVar.
What's up?
It's another Friday. Another rainy Friday, man. That's just how it's going to be here in the winter. At the end of the show, we'll kind of explain. We're going to have a different schedule rotation with a lot of things coming up. We're still going to do one episode a week, but it might end up being like a Saturday kind of vibe because schedules kind of get conflicted. You know, some days I don't like being right, and some days we could have said, I told you so.
Right.
But Ja Morant is now, he's missed two games, but it's right now he's out indefinitely.
So far.
Yeah. I'm not going to say I called it. I'm not going to say we didn't say it. I'm not going to say, you know, what could possibly go wrong. Literally the next day after we had posted this episode, he's on Instagram Live flashing the gun.
Stupid, man.
I'm just wondering.
And the thing is,
what is going on?
I want to say that's just him being young, you know. But you got to realize this social media thing. As an NBA star, you're flashing a gun in the public, you know.
You're worth $200. You're worth $200 million.
Probably
three because of that deal with Nike.
Yeah.
And doing this,
and it's unnecessary.
And you had guys.
He could have did what he did, you know, enjoyed himself, rap, been half naked on the shit, and it'd been perfectly fine. But when he flashed a gun, that's where it all messed up. That and then the 17-year-old. That's the other part.
I think Jalen Rose said it best with the kind of company that you keep.
Mm-hmm.
They'll either add, subtract, multiply, or divide. And it is what a lot of people have gone through. It's you are with the company you keep, but uh-huh. Ja Morant usually has good company. I don't know what's going on recently that's turned money into doing whatever you want.
You gotta know, man. Something in your head. You've been wanting to, you know. Not saying you've always had this.
Is it something that you didn't like? No one's really. We would never. We'll never get that opportunity to have that kind of money unless we win the millions. Unless we win the lottery.
Thing is, I'm never. Even if I did, what am I flashing guns for?
And what am I?
What does that prove? even at the young age, I would never do no mess like that, yo. I ain't putting myself out there. I'm not. I refuse, especially if I'm making money.
You're making a lot of money, too. And you're making a lot of money, too.
I'm messing up my money.
But it's just, it's so frustrating to see that kind of talent. And then,
yeah, because I'm not going to lie, he was playing top four in the NBA.
Yeah, now with him. And with him now gone,
Memphis is still winning,
but
it's not the same,
without
though.
Him, they're not a contender.
They don't have that extra 30 points.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
They're relying a lot more on everybody else.
Now everybody got to play more together. I think Bane going to step up no matter what, though.
Bane's going to step up. Jared Jackson.
Dylan Brooks needs to just learn how to play basketball.
JJ Jr. is going to step up.
Shut up
but Dylan Brooks,
he's
doing the best he can.
Yeah, I mean, my thing is, he's doing his job.
Right.
You know what his job is? To piss everybody off on the other side.
Oh, yeah.
To where they don't even realize what they're doing on the court no more. So he's doing a good job.
He's almost making the breaks of Draymond Green and Patrick Beverley kind of annoying.
Yeah, and even
Marcus Smart at that point.
Yep.
So
true.
It'll be
interesting. Marcus Smart.
It'll be interesting to see.
Marcus. Forgot he was hurt.
It'll be interesting to see how that goes from there.
Right.
Some of the things I did see, and this is kind of throwing kind of a curve, but it'll be interesting to see how it goes. The Olympic Committee,
I already know, yep,
is announcing esports events.
I said that this was going to happen,
and I'm interested but concerned because here, do you know the events?
Yeah, but I don't know the
so
exact events.
The events include archery, baseball, chess, cycling, dance, motorsport, sailing, tennis, and taekwondo. And they do have a list of the games that they'll be using for these events.
Okay, let me see the list.
So, I don't know. Archery is...
I know tic-tac-bow.
But I know chess.com's like what the professionals use everywhere.
Yeah.
Dance, they're doing the Just Dance video game.
Yeah, that's crazy right there.
Why is that why is that an Olympic sport?
I don't know what
I don't get it. Motorsport Gran Turismo.
Now, I get the motorsport.
I get that one.
There's like professional 24-hour Le Mans.
They got the setup.
Yeah, the setup. And I mean, literally, with the force feedback and everything, they literally have a 24-hour Le Mans esports team.
Yes.
And they would drive in it, and then they would change drivers. And the other driver will take over for the next, 12 hours or so. And it's crazy. But,
baseball, WBSC, virtual Bugatti. I don't. And then virtual Taekwondo. Baseball, I don't know how that's going to work.
Virtual Taekwondo, I don't know how that's going to work. You got to have tennis, a good setup for that.
Tennis, sign me up. I want to do that.
Yeah, class would be cool.
I could probably do that.
But now, the Tic Tac Bowl I've seen before.
Cycling, Zwift. I mean, a lot of Zwift is pretty popular.
Baseball Power Pros? I've never
heard of it. I kind of want to.
That shit's crazy, man.
I kind of want to look it up. What was it?
WBSC. I say that this is going to end up happening because of, 2K.
Oh, no. It's this? I know exactly what this is.
Oh, my God.
Gosh. This is embarrassing.
They're doing this.
This is embarrassing.
And they are.
Bro, this is embarrassing.
That's an actual baseball game,
I know.
Too.
That's an actual baseball game. Oh, my God. This is embarrassing.
You're playing with your friends.
You can live. Anybody.
You're telling me.
Look, this is a dollar game.
You're telling me my daughter Molly bought me in this damn game.
She this is a dollar game. You can buy this on the Nintendo store for a dollar. They are not going to spend that much.
My daughter Molly bought me on this damn game. So I need to tell her, hey, sign it up, baby. We're going to the Olympics.
But here's the thing.
But like for
no,
instance,
but no. But here's what you need to do. This needs to be entirely separate. This needs to be just an Olympics.
Things,
you have the regular Olympics. You have the Paralympics.
And then the
E-Olympics. You need the
Olympics. Yeah,
that's why
be part of the actual Olympics and get me a real gold medal for going here.
We both could do this at that point.
This though? Because I knew this was going to happen because of the fighting games. The fighting games are making a lot of money. Street Fighter VI have a tournament coming out, and it's a $2 million cash prize.
There's Street Fighter. There's Mortal Kombat, there's Super Smash Brothers.
There's a whole bunch of them, man.
There's so many. And then even like regular
girls. There's so
many.
Oh,
and then
man.
You can do a 2K tournament, a Tekken. Madden tournament,
Tekken tournament. The thing is, that's what's next. Actual Tekken or 2K, because 2K actually has an actual.
But they have a league too.
Yeah. So that's going to be next.
The 2K
league has
a league where they can get guys all over the world to play.
And then you take your my player. And put them in there and you actually play.
Yeah.
That's crazy to me. But hey, if you spend the money on this shit,
you spend the money, that's.
Hey, you paying fucking $400-$500 a year
but,
for that.
Like I said, it's just crazy now what technology is giving us nowadays. Because you wouldn't have thought of this like 20 years ago.
Nope.
20 years ago, the 2000s, barely the internet, barely anything.
The internet
at that point was.
It
would have been 2000 dial-up AOL would have happened.
Yeah, you're right.
Around 2000, and I barely had dial-up. I knew what dial-up was.
Yeah.
You got mail.
And the black and green screen.
Oh my gosh. This is how old we are sounding, y'all.
That's
this is crazy.
It ain't been but that long ago.
No, but what I'm finding frustrating is the fact that you're going to have people out there who are going to treat this like I want a gold medal for basically training their hands. Not every other party. You're going to have... Do you remember that South Park episode where they're playing World of Warcraft? You had that dude just leaning on the side of his chair eating cookies. That's going to be the guy that wins a gold medal for an event.
But you want to know something? If you put the hours in, you learn. Listen, it's crazy. I know it's crazy, but.
You're going to win a gold medal
for. To play these games.
You're going to win a gold medal for that and a straight next is the doctor saying diabetes. I just really don't think diabetes.
It should be part of the actual Olympics, though, man. It should be part of the actual Olympics.
No, it should like not.
Said, it should be the E-Olympics and put it that way and keep it that way.
Call it E-Olympics.
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 I'm about it.
E-Olympics.
E-Olympics. Don't even put the E-Olympics.
Don't even put the O.
Just E-Olympics.
Because that's the grade it gets. You know, E. That rated E again. For everyone.
E for everyone. E-Olympics.
I'm gonna write that down.
Put that shit down.
We're gonna start something right there. I tell you what, but I don't know. I want to see when this actually would start. They haven't given a definitive. 2020. So it'd be this year.
Well, okay.
Esports Series 2023.
Made Nintendo Switch made a big accomplishment having these games put in the Olympics, bro. That's going to make them real relevant. No, but it's not just
Nintendo Switch. I mean,
but Just Dance.
Just Dance.
It's probably going to be.
But it was big. It was before that. Just Dance was.
I know,
before
but it got
Nintendo,
big on
it?
The Wii. Like it got.
No,
real
it got
on the
big
Wii.
On. Wasn't it the Xbox Kinect?
Yeah,
it was
but
the
see,
camera.
That's the thing. The thing is, the camera used to mess up. So
and the Wii
when it
remote
got real
was
real
better.
Huge is when it got Just Dance 2.
But then Gran Turismo was always Xbox.
Gran Turismo
was always Xbox.
PlayStation.
No.
Was
no,
it PlayStation?
No, it was Xbox.
You sure?
I'm not even making this up. I thought Gran Turismo was always Xbox.
I could have sworn Gran Turismo was PlayStation. Maybe I didn't play it enough.
No, it couldn't.
Yeah, PlayStation.
I thought it was Xbox.
No, I think Xbox was for yeah for
Oh,
Forza. Yeah,
that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah,
I'm thinking of Forza. I knew I was wrong. You know what? I'm sometimes wrong.
Sometimes you're right. Call it right. John Moran situation.
But one more thing before we head into commercial break, we had talked about with John Moran being out in the Grizzlies. You know, I'm fine in the West.
Man.
And here's the thing. Everyone wants to say, oh, with Kevin Durant now and the Suns, but the Suns are still middle. They're there, but they're not there.
You can't say Kevin Durant because Kevin Durant broke his ankle damn near in warm-ups.
No, he can't do anything. Are the Bucks now more the favorite? Are the East with the Bucks and the Celtics, are they the favorites, even though they're same conference?
To me, they're already the favorites.
They're already the favorites.
Yeah.
At the start of the year.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it was Memphis.
And do you think, I don't think Golden State will make that push.
I mean, they're trying.
They're trying.
They're trying.
The Lakers are now in the hunt for a playing spot. But
this is crazy because they're playing great basketball at this moment.
I also found interesting, Mo Bamba out for the year. So what kind of trade was that? What kind of trade was that?
Good trade, man.
Yeah, we traded for somebody who can't play the rest of the year.
Like, the Lakers, Anthony Davis
BS
is actually...
That?
You hear me? Anthony Davis is actually playing some
he's
great
playing better, yeah.
Though.
He's playing a lot better since the break. I think he's finally realized, get your act together and we can make the playoffs.
Like this. He's playing better since the ball got hurt.
Why you think? He's
I don't even want to say it like that, but
I don't want to say it like I told you so, but I told you so.
I told you, they not. Them two ain't clicking like they're supposed to,
man.
It's crazy. They got to get that situation straight.
Yeah. But we're going to take a quick commercial break, guys. When we come back, we have our 101 Hooper profile with Newman University men's basketball star Ishmael Marshall. So stay tuned. Welcome back to the Hoop Jack Podcast series, guys. And today, for our 101 Hooper profile, we have a very special guest from Newman University men's basketball program. We have Ishmael Marshall. Ishmael, it's great to have you on the show.
Great to be here, Chris. I appreciate you for having me, man. Nowhere else I would want to be right now.
Absolutely. So, looking at the year you guys had, 21-8, another great year. You guys were on the verge of trying to go back-to-back Atlantic East conference championships, but you guys fell short to Marymount, and then moving on to the ECAC tournament, won the first round against Manhattanville, but got beaten by Alvernia University. What are some things that the team was able to reflect on this past year? And you're a senior this year, correct?
Yes, sir.
So what kind of vision do you see the team moving forward, knowing that was the last time you were playing for Newman?
Well, to answer the first part of the question, what are some of the things we reflect on during the season? As we reflect on a lot of things, because like you said, we had 2-21 seasons. That's very hard to do. We didn't have a lot of losses. Can you still hear me, Chris?
Yes.
Okay, we didn't have a lot of losses. So that's the one thing we reflected on the way back from Marymount was, the season that we had in 2 years, me and the other seniors that we had, because it's not that often you get to go back, not only go be a champion, but go to back-to-back finals as well. Like, that's very hard to do. And no matter what level of basketball you play on, like, even in the NBA, like, that's why LeBron is celebrated so much. Outside of his accolades, he went to, I think it was like 8 straight finals at one point in his career. That's not easy to do. So being able to go to back-to-back championships and also being a champion was something that we reflected on. And, after the loss, we obviously reflected on things we could have done better to get our team to win as a whole, rather that's from the players individually, the coaching staff. We all reflected on things we probably could have did better. But that was the most important thing that we reflected on. And also, to answer the second part of the question, what direction do I see the team going in, being as though we'll be losing a lot of key guys and I'm not going to be on the team no more? Well, I feel like the team is going to be in a positive direction. They still got the player of the year, Jalen Vaughn's returning. They still got T.J. Lewis coming back. They have Kyle Thompson coming back. They have a lot of key freshmen who played some minutes this year that's coming back, like Jabri, David, Luca. They got another guy named Brendan coming back. So, they have some nice pieces coming back. And also knowing the type of coaching staff we got and a winning tradition, it won't be hard for them to get recruits or transfers that they could plug right in to come over and play winning basketball and buy into the system. So I think with the team direction, they're going to be heading a good direction. Hopefully they can go participate in 3 championships in 3 seasons, and Jalen Vaughn could finish his historical career at Newman off as a college champion. That'll be a great feeling to have. You went out as a champion and get another NCAA tournament bid.
Absolutely. And reflecting on how you guys went last year, you guys were Atlantic East men's basketball champions.
I see you, Dad. I'm going to call you. I'm sorry, Chris.
What was that like, winning the conference championship last year, cutting down the net and winning a ring for your program?
Well, I mean, that feeling of winning a conference championship last year was like really, Chris, one of one. It's second to none other. Like, being in that environment, going up to Marymount, hadn't beat them in the regular season that year. I think we lost to them 2 times. So to go up there and go get them a 3rd time and beat them was everything to us, man. And then also everybody on our team had like a story. We all was out of school. We all was trying to find a different school to go to, It felt amazing, to feel like when you're back against the wall, you come out fighting and swinging. And despite me not really getting a lot of minutes in that game, I cried after the game because it was like all the sacrifices we had made as a team to get to that level. And right. That level, we cut down that net. That was an amazing feeling, man. That feeling, Chris, is like something that you be chasing for the rest of your career. Mm-hmm. That's why a lot of our guys, not going to say a lot, well, some of us was like kind of, not going to say some of us didn't want to go to the ECAC. Like, it was a bad thing because it still is a good thing to play in because there's only 8 teams played in this year. So to be one of the 8 is great, but it's like the NCAA tournament feeling was – and it had you chasing that to the point where it's like, I don't really want to play in nothing else but the NCAA tournament. So that feeling that we had, man, was a great feeling. It still is great to this day to could sit back and even get a chance to look at your ring and say you accomplished something. The day they put the banner up and we had Midnight Madness just reflecting on that year, and it was made me shed a tear that night because of the fact of we won. And, you see it, you're going up in the history books. That'll be something that you could cherish for the rest of your life.
Absolutely. And kind of looking at the college route that you took, Newman was not Newman was kind of the spot that you've landed on for the last few years, correct? Newman hasn't been the first school that you were part of, correct?
No, it wasn't. It was not. Nope, Newman was not. It was like, I think my 3rd or 4th. I can't remember.
So walk me through kind of the journey that it took you that eventually led you to Newman. Because I know being a college athlete at this time, you definitely were a part of the COVID years when everything was shut down. trying to figure everything out at once, and then finding schools, and especially finding places to train. What was that path like for you, and then finally finding a home at Newman?
All right, so that's a great question, Chris. I'm gonna walk you through what happened. So I'm not gonna go too far back, but so I started off at Mercer County Community College. I got recruited there after I played at Abraham Lincoln High School. I went all public. For those who don't know or not familiar with the Philadelphia basketball area, all public is like when you're now just one of the best players in public league in Philadelphia. So you got the PCL, which is the Philadelphia Catholic League. You got the Friends Select League. You got like Suburban One League. You have all different leagues. You got but in Philadelphia, it's more public schools than anything. So, but it was broken up in divisions. So we had Division A, obviously, which is the best players. A lot of players from Division A, they go to like the kid Justin Edwards, who's ranked number one in the country right now. He plays for a Division A public league school. So that goes to show you like the talent level from there. Then Division B, which is like, schools that's not. They Division A might be Division A talent in some areas. Then you got Division C, but the year I played in Division C, it was still good competition. It was like because this was back in 2015, so this was still good competition. It still was a lot of guys like Daquan Powden, who played for Massey Charter North, who played for the Hornets G League team. No, not the Hornets, the Pelicans G League team. Excuse me. Played in Division C at the time. Another guy who went to Massey Charter North, Kobe Thomas, he went on to play at Robert Morris, and he went to Coppin State. He had a Washington Wizards tryout. So the level of competition that was in C was still good. So for Mercer, when I got there, I'm not going to lie, Chris, I didn't play. Not even put on the jersey. I had the red shirt. Me and the coach wasn't seeing eye to eye. And at the time, I was being a little, young, wanting everything fast, not really wanting to go through nothing. Just coming off my best year of college. Just coming off my best year of high school basketball. I'm like, man, I'm going to go to this team, and I'm going to go play, and I'm going to do good, and I'm going to hopefully get to another school. Excuse me, because Mercer County was a two-year JUCO.
Right.
Crazy. So, when that happened, Chris, I didn't play. So, the coach came to my dad. He said, at the end of the year, when the semester was over, both of them just the spring semester. So when the spring semester was over, Chris, he came to me, actually called my dad. So I think it's best if Ishmael transfer. So that I wound up going to the Community College of Philadelphia. Now, a lot of guys who will go to Community College of Philadelphia are guys who didn't get recruited coming out of high school. I didn't have good grades coming out of high school. Or just like a lot of unhidden talent. Like it's not like it's like a lot of hidden gems. The dudes who can play who just got under recruited.
Right. It's guys that weren't highly looked at because they're like, the top schools, but they're still very competitive at that level, still looking for that shot, whether it's one, two, or three. Like and anybody can miss. A lot of people miss that, there's a diamond in the rough somewhere.
I'm on the phone. You gotta get out. I'm sorry, Chris. Yep, and that's true. So a lot of people, Chris, to a lot of guys in Philadelphia, and to be honest with you, Chris, a lot of them don't want to play there either because they feel like they're too good for it. So, playing basketball in the Community College of Philadelphia, it comes with its pros and cons. And people looking at it like, oh, well, I'm not playing this level of basketball. These guys not that good. Or y'all not that good. So, you got people that talk trash to you. And if you don't got a strong mind, discourage you from playing and get in your head. But me, I didn't let none of that outside noise get into my head. So, my dad who played basketball, I grew up in a basketball family. My dad who played basketball, he went to community college before I was born because I'm his firstborn.
Right.
So he was about to play on the team. I'm not sure. He was about to play on the team, but, he had me at the time, so that derailed him from playing. But, he ain't never, he always told me, and my dad didn't force basketball on me. My mom didn't force basketball on me. I always was going to the gym with him. I picked it up on my own. So he gave me the advice. You know, he told me to go to community college, go play for Community College of Philadelphia. So my first year at community college playing, I didn't start. I didn't start like maybe the first six, seven games of the season. But I always was like the sixth or seventh man off the bench. We had a three-guard rotation. Like I said about basketball. So it was me and my high school teammate, Blair. And then it was another guy who was very good named Anthony Satchel. He played for Constitution, which is in Philadelphia. If you're familiar with Constitution, that's a Division A school. Very good players come out of the Constitution. Players who went to FIU, Florida International University, Rider University, Minnesota, school in Vegas. Las Vegas Rebels, guys who played for UNLV. That's what it's called, University of Las Vegas. So I go there. You know, Chris, I'm playing good. Average like 11 points a game. When my best game that year, I had like 24 points in the first half. It was a crazy game. I'll go reflecting back on it. I think I finished that game with like 30 points, but go reflect because they keyed into me in the second half. But that was my best game that year, playing good minutes. So after that year was over, the head coach, Joe Rome, at the time, who was a great coach, great guy, he says, I'm leaving. I'm taking a break from coaching CCP. So going into my sophomore year over at CCP, Chris, my coach, Dre, he comes to me in the beginning of the year because my coach was still on the cuffs. Like, he wasn't sure if he was going to do it or not. He was like, it's being as though I'm one of the key returners from last year of a team. I think I was one of the three returners who came back because a lot of other guys, you know, wasn't able to come back, you know, family situations, legal situations. So I came back and played, but my coach, my great assistant coach, Andre Newt Wright, who also played at Newman, said to me, if Joe don't come back, I'm going to need you to be like the leader of the team because it's a possibility thinking about not coming back. So, Chris, with that being done, I always had it in the back of my mind, you know. So my sophomore year, Chris come around. Coach Joe finally announced he's not coming back to the team. So then from there, Chris, I really had to, you know, I ain't going to say become the best player on the team, but, you know, I had to become the leader of the team, you know. Right. That was the most minutes I played. That was the most minutes I ever played in my college career. I had more. I think I had like 2 30-point games, a lot of 20-point games. I finished that year, or I won all conference that year. Finished that year top 10 in 3-point percentage, top 10 in 3-point percentage in the country. I was shooting like 41% from three.
Wow.
I think it might have been. I might be telling you a fib. I'm not sure, but I think it was like 45. It was high. It was like 45. It was between 43 to 45. I was sure. I made like a majority of my free throws. I was like top 100 in major categories: assists, steals, minutes played, assist to turnover ratio. So I averaged like 15. Five and four. It wasn't crazy numbers, but I had some up and down games. Then I also had some other good players on my team. I was playing with a guy named Marley. Marley, he was good. Then I was playing with a lot of other good guys on the team. So we had, and the coach didn't make the offense revolve around me. Like, he wasn't the type of guy where it was like, put the ball in Ishmael's hands. Like, he let us play, and if it was your night. But I knew in order for us to be like a good consistent team, I had to bring scoring and value every night. So that year, we make the playoffs, but we play in a team that we lost to three times. So we go up there with Thaddeus Stevens. We had a great player named Markel. Had a two great players named Markel and Mason. They had this guy named Mason, shooter. Markel, if you follow on Instagram, I think his name is MJM Hoodie Kel. I played against him. If you ever seen him, go on YouTube, look him up. So he had a good year that year. They both was 1,000-point scorers, so we had to go in that game focused. And mind you, Chris, they scored 1,000 points in 2 years, so you can only imagine how many points they averaged. They averaged like 25, 24 apiece.
Right.
So we go in that game and we put our head down. The second half, I had like a great second half. and a lot of the guys who play with me, and also in JUCO, if you don't pass the first, if you don't pass the first semester, you can't play the second semester. So it was only like, we started the season off with like 15, 16 guys. We finished the season with like 8 or 9. So a lot of dudes.
Those grades up.
Yeah. So, yep. That's another story for another day.
Right.
8 or 9 guys. So I was one of the 8 or 9. I got through the crack. And, you know, I played good that game. We wound up beating them. Then we played Middlesex. I had 17 that game, but we lost to Middlesex. Middlesex wound up winning the championship. So it was a good game, though. It was a good game. We had a good season. Second team all conference, top 10, top 100 in major categories. So I had a good year that year. That was a fun year. And then from there, I took a couple of visits. I took a visit to Rosemont College. I was talking to a different school every day after the season, but I wound up going to New Jersey City University. Oh, wait, let me rewind this back. So after the season was over, you know, Chris, you know how you play pickup ball, right, Chris?
Right.
So after the season was over, I'm down LA Fitness playing pickup ball with my friends. I wasn't even supposed to play this day. I go in there because I'm up there. You know how, Chris, you got two friends that's talking trash to each other in a group chat. Oh, I'm better than you. I'm better than you. But I wasn't involved in it because, you know, I'm the college basketball player of my
Did you end up getting involved in it?
I didn't end up getting involved in it, but my competitive nature, they wanted to play. I was just going to go there and lift weights. So I go there, Chris. We playing full court. You know, we playing full court. It's this one dude, he just kept scoring. So I'm like, oh, man, I got to go guard him. So I go guard him, Chris. He does a Euro step. And he Euro steps in between, like, it sounds crazy, but like he Euro step in between the two of us. But when he Euro step in between the two of us, being as though he didn't have the most body control, I wind up tripping over his foot. And when I tripped over his foot, if you sitting down, and let's say if you're sitting down in a chair, you know how your feet is flat on the ground. Let's just say you twist your foot like real fast. You twist your foot. So I twisted my foot. It's not like twisting your ankle. It's like the same kind of position, but I twisted my foot and my fifth metatarsal bone popped.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So, Chris, my fifth metatarsal bone popped. I couldn't walk out the gym that day without assistance. I was scared to go to the hospital. My friend that was with me that day, still my good friend to this day, Ricky, he took me to the hospital, called my dad that night, you know, called my mom and my dad that night, told them that I broke my fifth metatarsal bone. And at the time, Chris, I'm scared of surgery. So my dad, I had a friend, his name's Sean Witherspoon, who was a good athlete too, played for Nyack University, Division II school.
Mm-hmm.
His dad called my dad because they both good friends. They talked on the phone. They said, tell Ish to get the surgery. But I'm like, no, man, I don't want to get surgery. I'm scared to get surgery. Like, I was scared, Chris. That was one of the few things. I'm not scared of many things, but
yeah.
But you put a bumblebee in front of me, I'll run like a little girl for the head.
Because it's also just the fact that if you do get surgery, there, it's you like you said, it's a competitive. You want to compete, you want to play, and you don't think, oh, I'll be fine, I can just walk it off, I'll be okay.
Mm-hmm.
But and then when you have surgery, it's like, what if the surgery goes bad and I still can't play?
Right. So, you know, me not. I ain't gonna lie. My dad gave me the best advice about this. I did the surgery. I didn't do the surgery. Let it heal naturally. So I think I hurt myself the end of, because my birthday is May 19th, so I hurt myself the end of April, like in late April. I want to say around April 24th, 25th. So yeah. I couldn't do nothing for my birthday or whatever, which was cool. You know, I was fine. I couldn't do nothing for my birthday, but I wound up getting, so like I told you, I was going to NJCU. The reason why, so I committed to NJCU before all this happened. So when I went to NJCU for a workout, the coach at the time, I emailed NJCU because I didn't want to go to school in state. I wanted to go to school close to New York. So I went to NJCU, emailed the coach. I went to NJCUathletics.com, emailed the coach, Mark Brown, who is familiar with the Philadelphia area because, you know, one of my, you know, in Philly, I'm not sure how you say it, one of my uncles. I'm going to say one of my uncles, his name Hot Rod. like, you know, when you got an older guy who's closer to you, we call him old head, OG, we call him uncle. So one of my uncles, Hot Rod was telling me, yeah, Mark Brown, a good guy. You know, he helped me get my first job overseas in Brazil. And he was played over Brazil for 10 years. He went to Seton Hall. So I'm like, okay, let's. So I talked to Mark Brown. Mark Brown liked what he see. When I go up to the workout, like I said, though, I wound up breaking my foot. So I don't go up NJCU for that whole summer. Now, mind you, Chris, you know, when you preparing your team for, when you preparing a college team for athletics, you know, you put them in leagues during the summertime. So I'm not able to participate in none of the leagues. So Mark Brown, first time seeing me play was when I went up to campus again for them gaps. He hadn't seen me the whole summer since then. He would text me and he would tell me to come up to the open gyms, but he hadn't seen me. Right?
Yeah.
So I get up in JCU, right? Now I made it through the whole preseason, Chris. True story. The last day, I'm talking about, we get our jerseys Monday, Chris. Now this is Saturday. Saturday, Mark Brown was like, we have preseason workouts Monday through Friday and optional on Saturday, but it's not optional. You don't got to come, but you better be here. So, you know, I'm like, all right, I want to get this coach. I want to get used to the guys. I want to get familiar with the team. So let me just go ahead and go. So I jump out of bed that day, Chris. Literally, you know how you just jump out of bed because I'm mad, I'm late. I jump out. When my feet hit the ground, my feet go numb. I'm like, oh, it ain't too much nothing. Maybe it's just the blood rushing. I just got up. I'm trying to rush out the dorm. So I rush out the dorm. The last game, I'm guarding somebody. You know, I'm guarding his former point guard. His name Quan. Very good point guard, too. I'm guarding Quan. He goes left. But I go left with him. But when I go left, the foot that I broke go right. So I wound up breaking my foot again. Hello?
Yeah, that's yeah. That's so unfortunate.
Yeah, so I broke my foot two times in the same year. So, of course, this time I had to go get the surgery. But when I went to go get the surgery, I missed the whole first half of the season. Now I come back with 10 games left to play. Luck, and I think, you know, being as though Mark Brown is like, Chris, when you build up routine every day, it's going to be hard for you to get in between that dude routine. It's 10 games left and he's making a playoff push. He don't know how my foot is. He don't know if he could trust me or not.
Yeah.
Excuse me. So, and I wasn't mad at the Coach Brown for doing it. Like, I didn't go to practice with resentment or anger or being like, oh, man, these coaches are some nuts. You know, because that's what some guys do. But I didn't do that. So what I did was I took it. What I did was, Chris, I had to take it. So we had the end of the year. So when I was at school, when I was at NJCU, Chris, that's when COVID happened. So during spring break, they was like, but mind you, during my spring break, Chris, I took a lot of stuff home because this is my first time ever staying on campus. So I'm not, I probably overpacked. But my spring break, after spring break was over, I never wound up going to NJCU again. Like after spring break was over. So my coach couldn't even give us face-to-face exit meetings because they had shut the school down due to COVID. So we had to finish the rest of our classes online. We had to, we had to schedule a time and appointment to go get our stuff. Right, Chris?
Yeah.
So I have an exit meeting with my coach Mark Brown and my coach Ab at the time. So we call him Coach Ab. They tell me, I think you should transfer. The out-of-state tuition is too much. And anybody who come back for next year's team, from last year's team, being as though they had a successful year the year before that, he said anybody who come back from last year's team got to try out except for like 4 or 5 people. Huh?
Yeah.
I'm like, so Chris, that's like you, you know, driving, you know, you do podcasts. That's like you going up to ESPN and driving and saying, you know, I'm ready for this opportunity. And they say, well, I can't make you no promises, but I think you should go over to work for CBN. So, all right, man. Like, so, and if you do try to come back up to this network, you're going to have to pay a bunch of money and you might get a chance to be, so you get like, I can't do it. The odds are stacked against me.
Never, it's never a guarantee.
Exactly. And at the time, I'm trying to be, this is about to be my senior year of basketball. So we don't know what the extra year, they're going to give us an extra year of COVID or not. So I winded up being able to get my year back. And then from there, I was out of luck, though, Chris. Like, it was a journey. Ever since COVID happened, I was able to work out every day by doing miles with my friends and family. You know, I was working out with my friends, my family. My dad was taking me to the track. My little brothers was running with me because all three of us play basketball. So it was hard. I was trying to stay motivated. We would have to drive out in further areas to find courts in the low-key area. So we would still be working out, even though we shouldn't. Knowing that it's a possibility the cops could ride up on us. Hey, you guys got to get out this area. COVID, this gym, this place is shut down. Then a lot of the trainers in Philadelphia, they can't get access to no gyms because the gyms that they get access to is state funded. So if they open up their gym and the state find out, the state can shut their facility down for good. So you can't get mad at nobody for, and then that's how they provide for their family. So you can't knock that. So we wind up being able, so COVID come out, I meet this trainer, you know, through my little brother, because my little brother Isaac has an immaculate high school career, one all state, 1,000 points, broken school records, everything like that. I meet Isaac, wind up going to prep school. My little brother Isaac, when he goes to prep school, I wind up getting close to this trainer, his name Josh, but on Instagram, it's Excel Basketball PA. So me and Josh, we get a good relationship off. He start training. So he invite me up to his gym. Now, being as though Josh is like one of the highly respected trainers, he got a lot of Division I guys coming in his gym. Guys from Villanova, Rutgers, Duke, Penn State, Miami University, North Carolina State, Kentucky. Guys from all over, Tennessee. He even had girls coming in there from Penn State, LaSalle University, all the Temple. Like, so he just had a lot of different players coming there. Westchester University, which is like one of the highly respected PSAC schools, IUP University, East Stroudsburg University, even guys from good Division III schools like Newman, Widener, Swarthmore, very, you know, DeSales, very good programs, Delaware University. So let's go. And on St. Joe's, he even had a couple coaches come in there and watch the kids work out. So I go and get a build a relationship with him, but he just started in the training world, so he don't really got a lot of connects. He got a lot of pro connects, but not a lot of college connects, which is understandable, you know. So I go in there, I'm training, I'm working out with him, but I'm still not in school. So now, Chris, it's just me working out every day. So I want to say in September of 2021, I post myself I don't have Facebook. This how, you know, I'm a Christian, so this how God works. Proper preparation leads to the perfect opportunity. So I post myself on Facebook one day in this group chat. It's called Philly Basketball. It's called Philly Basketball Circuit. So it's FHILA Basketball Circuit from my uncle page. So I post myself on there. I say two, because I had a 2.7 GPA, not the best, but it's better than most, I should say. So a 2.7 GPA, 2 years left. A lot of people comment on it. Somebody commented on it who knew my head coach named Rulo. My head coach. My head coach first and last name is Jim Rulo. You know how you mention somebody in your comments on Instagram, they mention them in the comments. My coach Rulo reaches out to me. I reach out to Coach Rulo, he replies back. Then from there, the rest was history. I reach out to Coach Phil. I go to the game when they play Drexel. I meet a couple players on the team. Then I meet the guy, Coach Phil. Now, Coach Phil coached against my little brother in high school. But at the time, I was hanging with Sam Sessions. You know who that is, Chris?
Yeah.
I was hanging with Sam Sessions. We was hanging out with each other like every day, playing one-on-one every day on the phone, talking, you know, because Sam was in COVID at that time too. So he was just chilling with me every day, playing ball. We built a good relationship. Coach Phil coached Sam Sessions all 4 years of Sam Sessions in high school. So small world. So I wound up getting accepted into Newman. And I sent a letter to like my family. And I sent a letter to Sam and my other close friends. I wound up getting a call from Coach Phil that night saying, congratulations on your acceptance to Newman. I'm like, how you find out I got accepted, coach? He was like, Sam sent the letter to me. So I'm like, oh, okay, Dan, that's what's up. So I found out I got accepted in the Newman at my little brother game. I was at my little brother Isaiah Marshall game, and he was in 10th grade now. He was having a real good game. I was there. I was there with my girlfriend at the time. I was there with my girlfriend at the time. We was watching the game together. I give her my, like, Chris, I get the email. I start crying because they gave me a scholarship in the email for $12,000. They broke it up in between two semesters. So that was like $3,000 a semester, however long I was going to be there, because they wanted the award to spread. So they gave me $3,000 a semester. It's called the St. Joseph Cupertino Award. Being as though I had a high GPA and for my major, they gave me a scholarship. I started crying. Me and my dad started crying because my dad had been through this journey with me. My mom started crying. My girlfriend at the time got emotional. She kept patting me on my back, saying, I'm proud of you, you know so. I get to Newman. I play against the Sells. They rank number 24th in the country. I play good against them. Then I don't play too good. I get the next game at the tournament. You know, a couple of my friends called me on the phone, held me accountable. Then the third game, I had a good game. And then from there, the rest is history, man. So it was a long college journey. It was like some steps.
It's saying it, yeah. Like it's rough in the beginning, you know, trying to find their path, and then going through the community college circuit, JUCO circuit, and then the COVID years hit, and then getting that opportunity to finish off at Newman. Just weight lifted off your shoulders at that point.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, it was.
What I did see this past year, what I always find very interesting is families that kind of go the same route in sports. You know, some people basketball, some people can be track, some people swimming. You got the opportunity to play your brother in the Atlantic East tournament because he played at Gwinnett Mercy University, correct?
I played at Gwinnett, yep.
So what was that feeling like going head-to-head against your brother?
So he probably don't even know this. So we played him three times. The first time we played him, I didn't get a chance to play against him. The second time we both didn't get on the floor. And then the third time we played against each other. And it was like the best time for it to happen, I believe. You know, it was the playoffs. My dad was there. My little brother was there. You know, a couple of my friends was there. And it was just so that morning. You know, I told him, I said, I'm not speaking. So we live together, though. That's the kicker. So we live together. So that morning, any Gwinnett Mercy gear I seen, I threw it on the floor. I stepped on it. I stepped on it. And I said, I'm not speaking to you until after the game. So we played each other on a Wednesday. When I see him Tuesday, I said, I'm not speaking to you until after the game. So we ain't speak to each other. And I went out there. We played against each other. And it was like, it was a feeling, man, that's like, you know, like winning the championship, you know, it felt like the championship being as though, you know, and, you know, being as though, you know, not to even bring race into it, but, you know, two young black men from the inner city of America becoming a positive statistic of playing against each other in a college playoff, not only in a college basketball game, but in a college playoff basketball game.
Right.
That, you know, that's like rare. That's like with the Super Bowl this year. Like, you know, Jason Kelce playing against his brother that was on the Chiefs. It's like, it's rare, and it's an amazing feeling. You know, when even I'm pretty sure my dad felt amazing even seeing both of his boys, both of his oldest boys, and being on the court, sharing that moment, you know. It was an emotional moment, too, you know, because you really shed tears because, you know, you think about all the people who wish you could be there to see it. Like, you know, my Uncle Blue, may God rest his soul. He was somebody that came to both of my little brother's games, all of the games, came to all of the games, and he passed away. So that was hard, you know. Then my grandma, Laretha, who is my dad, mom, my grandma, you know, you just wish people could be there and see these moments. But, you know, they up in heaven dancing, smiling down on us, saying, you know, keep working hard, and I'm proud of y'all. So, you know, but it was very emotional in a positive way. It was very emotional in a good way, and it's also very inspirational. Hopefully our youngest brother seeing that makes him want to be on the court against, makes him want to strive hard to get that feeling of being playing basketball and going to the college level, rather D1, D2, or D3. obviously the goal is Division One and Division Two because you don't want to pay for school. But no matter what the level is, to get a chance to play against your brother, man, that feeling was like winning the championship. I said that when I put up the post, that was equivalent to winning the championship for me. And the athletes, we shared the moment. My coach let us, my coaches, his coach was being a very, very good coach that day too. He put him in. He told his coach, told him to guard me. Then my coach told me to guard my little brother. You know, we both, everybody laughed, joked about it. Then when I got the ball, the whole crowd stood up for me and my little brother guarding each other with their phones out. And it was just a good feeling, man, you know, seeing everybody support us, seeing everybody that love us. That's my most liked picture on Instagram right now. I think that was at like 1,001 and 1,050 and counting likes. Goes to show that people out here respect your journey and respect like what the type of work you're putting in. And you know, my little brother always didn't have the best year this year either. So for him to come in the game, stay positive. After the game, we hugged. He told me, "Big brother, I'm proud of you. Go win the championship for the family and bring it back home. And you're the reason why I didn't give up this year. Seeing your story made me want to work harder." And being an inspiration to my little brother also was a good thing to hear him say that to me in that moment too. So that feeling right there was second to none, though, man. It was an amazing feeling. And being as though I'm done college, and we'll never get that feeling again. So I'm just grateful for that.
Absolutely. And like we had talked about, you're graduating this year. What are some of the plans looking ahead of what you want to do once you graduate?
So, you know, I graduate this year. Right now I'm training. I'm working out with my dad. I'm about to work out with my little brother, head coach. His name is Purcell Cole, during the off season because he's planning on taking the team to China for a month. So I'm planning to go in China, get my passport, go over to China. Then after that's over, come back home, get a regular job, but still train because I got to go finish up my degree in the fall. And then while I'm in the fall, though, I'm going to try, while I'm home training, I'm going to do player development, try to work out with guys who I know, because I know a lot of Division I guys, a lot of guys that I know do player development. And from there, Chris, after I graduate next fall, I'm going to try to go overseas again. So that's the plan. And then get that experience under my belt hopefully my dream job is to be an NBA player. But if that doesn't work out, to be an NBA player development coach. I really like the idea of helping other people get better. Rather, it's youth, high school stars, high school people trying to make the team. I get a kick out of doing that. And a lot of people see me and ask me to train them. So that's the plan, man. The plan is this year, keep training, keep working hard, get prepared to go over in China, God willingly. After that, go back to school, finish up my degree. And after I finish up my degree, try to go back overseas and train from there. So my plan is to try to be a pro for at least 3 to 2 years. 2 to 3 years in a row. Get different jobs, and then hopefully stay with one club. That would be great, and build a legacy over there, like I see some people doing in Philadelphia. Then after I retire, probably go into training. Player development, and be like a training coach.
Absolutely, you know, keeping the dream of, opportunity to play overseas. There's so many teams out there that, you know, great opportunity for so many different countries, and then a development coach, you know. Training the next generation of ball players out there.
Yep.
Which actually leads into my last question. What advice would you give for the next generation of high school players wanting to play at the college level?
Okay, so first things first, I'm not going to be long-winded. First thing first, I probably heard all this before. For any high school player, whether you're freshman, sophomore, junior, senior, grad student, post-grad, fifth year seniors, so you got a couple cases like that in high school. You get hardship years, and you got guys who go to prep school, prep guys. For one, make sure your grades is good. A lot of people don't, and make sure your grades is good all year. And make sure you at least maintain a 3.0 GPA. We ain't asking, I'm pretty sure nobody is, you know, you don't have to be a super student and get all A's, but you have to make sure you have great grades because no college coach can recruit you if you don't have no grades. Second thing is be coachable. A lot of guys in this day and age, they don't want to be coachable. They don't really want to listen to what the coach has to say. They think they know everything. Be coachable. Be willing to learn. Be willing to listen. Be slow to talk and fast to listen. Stay focused on the task. You know, listen to what the other guys are saying. It might be somebody in the crowd. I'm not saying listen to the guys in the crowd when they talking trash. No, I'm not saying listen to the guys in the crowd when they talking trash, but take heed to what everybody's saying to you. You could be. Yeah, I'm sorry, Chris. That was my little sister.
It's all right, but I get what you mean. You know, it's you want to take everything as it comes, and then also make sure to be able to be coachable, because at the end of the day, you know, the head coach makes the final say, and he knows what he's doing.
Right. Then another thing I would say is. Third thing I would say is be a good defender. A lot of guys in this day and age, when you look at their highlight tapes, there's a lot of scoring. Be a good defender. Be a good leader. Playing defense to get you on the floor. Look at a guy like Patrick Beverley. Patrick Beverley was a guy who was in Chicago, was one of the all-time leading scorers in Chicago, averaged 25 a game in Chicago, or averaged like 30 points a game in high school, averaged like 30 points a game overseas. But when he got to the NBA, he had to transition his game to being a defender. Now he's been in the NBA ever since then. You have to be a good defender. Being a defender will get you minutes on any team. Also, being a knockdown shooter. A lot of guys, they want to go for the glitz and glamours, the highlights, the dunks, the you know, the oohs and ahs. But if you're a knockdown shooter, that'll get you a spot on any team. Be a good leader. Have good body language. Have good posture. If you're not getting a lot of minutes, don't be a guy that's on the bench, end of the bench pouting. Because some dudes see that, and some dudes do that type of stuff, Chris. They'll be pouting. Also, and you never know where college coaches are watching. They could be coming to recruit a good player, and they see you but having a good game. But if you miss a shot or your coach take you out, you're going back and forth with the coach, they're not going to recruit you no more. I've seen that happen to a lot of guys in Philly. Great players. Great players with bad attitudes. You can't do that. Right. The fourth thing is get better every year. You be a good player. Try to get better every year. Don't try to do stuff that you're not used to doing. Don't look at it like, oh, if I don't score, I'm not going to get recruited. Oh, if I'm not, no. Stay focused. When you in high school, stay focused. Be a gym rat. Fall in love with the game. Go to the gym. You know, there might be times you have to sacrifice time going out with your friends, going out with girls, but it'll pay off if you get $100,000, if you get a scholarship that's worth $1 million. It costs $50,000 to go to Newman. My parents, they're hardworking people. They have a nice amount of money, but I'm not sure if they got $50,000 laying around. So I wanted to make sure that when you have parents and when you have people out here making sacrifices for you, go hard for them. Don't quit. Don't be a guy who just when stuff get hard, you fall, you be like, oh man, I don't want to do it. I don't think I can do it no more. No, get through it.
Right.
I didn't play varsity until my junior year. I transferred to Abraham Lincoln. I played varsity in my junior and senior year. You got some guys who didn't play high school basketball at all. Like I said earlier in the view, one of my uncles, Hot Rod, he didn't play high school basketball at all. He still winded up overseas. Your journey is your journey. We live in an Instagram era where everybody compare their journey and this person and that person. No, your journey is your journey. Your time going to come. You just got to be ready for when your time comes. But like I said, be coachable. Have good grades. Be a good defender and a knockdown shooter. You always get a spot on the team. Stay focused. Don't lose sight of the goal. And the fifth thing I would say is don't compare yourself to others. And make sure you're hanging around. Oh, another thing is the last thing I would say, make sure you're hanging around the right crowd. A lot of guys coming up in certain areas of Philadelphia, they get caught up in the wrong stuff, hanging around the wrong people. You know, they start doing things, indulging in violence, drinking and smoking. Stay with the right crowd. Stay with your crowd. Do not try to be something you're not. You are a basketball player. You are an athlete. You have to conduct yourself like that. Make sure you're not on social media with your middle finger up, but you on there with a bunch of girls. Or y'all just seen what happened to Ja Morant. $200 million contract he just got from Nike. But he's sitting in the club with a gun. Don't do that type of stuff. Still be with the right people. Be with people that's going to respect what you have going on. You know, if you're a high school guy and you getting girls and you meet a girl who don't respect basketball, then I wouldn't recommend you to be with that girl because she's taking time away. See if she don't respect what you do, then she's gonna try to take you away from it. And some high school guys, they do that. Not saying that you can't have fun, but you gotta understand once you're trying to reach Division I level and Division II level or even a D3 or even JUCO level, there are gonna be sacrifices you have to make. Basketball is very time consuming, it's very hard, and it's not easy. So you can't hang around the wrong people, be with a bunch of girls and thinking, oh yeah, well, I'm gonna go to the gym this day. No, it's not gonna work like that because you got guys all over the country that's working just as hard as you. Especially if you're not on ESPN top 100, those are 100 guaranteed college players. Let's just say that's 100 guaranteed college players. But then you got billions of other players who work. You got guys who overseas that's working. The NBA is going global now. A lot of the best players in the NBA, you can make a top 5 NBA players with guys who not even from the U.S. You got Giannis Antetokounmpo, Joel Embiid, Nikola Jokic. You got Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. These are guys who aren't even from the U.S., so the NBA is going global and global and global.
Right.
So you have to make sure that you're always working, that you're not hanging around the wrong crowd. But those would be my 6 things. First thing, good grades. Second thing, be coachable. Be a not lockdown defender. Don't worry about offense. Offense will come if you're playing good defense. Try to get better every year. Stay focused no matter what. And the 6th thing is don't hang around the wrong crowd of people. And don't put nothing up there crazy on your Instagram. They all go hand in hand.
Absolutely, man. That's great advice to have. Well, it's been great having you on the show. I've been love hearing your story. I wish you the best of luck moving forward, my man. And you always have a place here to talk and share your story. And hopefully moving forward, everyone will hear your story and know the path that they need to take. And it's been great hearing from you and just – I look forward to seeing what the future holds for you, my man.
Thank you, Chris. I hope you'll be a part of it, man. Thank you, Chris. I appreciate you having me on your platform. And I want to tell you yourself, man, keep up the good work. Keep giving guys the opportunity to come on here. No matter how many followers you have, no matter how many likes you get, you never know who's watching. And if you ever need me to put up stuff on Instagram or try to connect you with a player, try my best to put the word in for you because that's the type of guy I am. I'm a helper. I'm not a taker. And I appreciate you even giving me this opportunity to speak on your platform. You know, I'm not one of the most sought out guys in Philadelphia, but the fact that you reached out to me means a lot. Goes to show that you're willing to work with anybody, not just the guys who are the top names or the big guys. Even though it is a plus to have them on the platform, you're still willing to work with guys who are not on the highest level yet. So I do appreciate that. And I do appreciate you having me. And if you ever need me to be on here or talk to anybody, I'm here for you. I'm gonna give you my number after this, and we can always call me on the phone if you ever need advice too about your journey, because I'm here to help.
Absolutely, my man. Thank you again. We'll be right back with more Hoop Jack, guys, so stay tuned.
And we're back, guys, so I want to thank Ishmael for taking the time to come on the show. I'm looking forward to see the work that he puts in overseas and wanting to become a player development coach, and just hearing his time at Newman University, becoming a conference champion. Just, he did it all. He had a great journey, you know, and finally ending up at Newman. You know, mm-hmm. A lot of people, you know, don't know where they start, and then they'll figure out how they finish.
Right.
We have a drop the ball moment of the week, which we normally don't.
Right.
We normally don't, but this week we have an exception. So, the Hoyas need a new coach. So, you know how bad you have to be to get fired by your alma mater? You know how bad you have to be.
You know what I'm starting to
notice?
You
know how bad you have to be to get fired out of your alma mater?
You know what I'm starting to notice, man?
Patrick Ewing was not a coach, though.
But he was.
No, let me rephrase that. He was not
Here's the problem. He had talent.
He didn't know how to use it.
He had talent coming there, but the problem is they can't finish getting the talent in. Yeah. Now you gotta sweeten some of these little these little people's up, unfortunately. And when you got like Carolina and you know Duke and all that and stuff, it's kind of tough to get people to come to Georgetown.
You know what? I saw
you had McClung.
You had McClung,
and then you let him get to Texas Tech. And he didn't leave because of, you know, Pastor Ewing and this and that.
Yeah, because Texas Tech had a better setup.
Had a better setup for him. And that's what it was. He had a better setup.
So I saw this yesterday, and we'll go to the next comment here in a second. I saw this interesting. The fact that nobody knows who's on the Duke team because Coach K isn't there.
That's true.
I don't know if I can name one standout player on that. I'm sorry, and not to offend Duke, I don't think I could name one standout player on that Duke team because Coach K isn't there.
Well, it's not the fact that I don't really rock with Duke like that. I just don't know.
You when you know Coach, when you hear something big about Coach K, you can tell which was the best player at that time.
I have no clue, bro. That's a shame. I have no clue.
That hurt your head, didn't it? It's like,
honestly don't know.
That makes 100% sense.
Gosh,
you just don't know. And Duke's not bad. We just don't know anybody.
To be honest, right now, Duke is just regular.
Duke's not stand out. Like, you're more of Kansas. And
right. Duke is...
And Kansas, Gonzaga, and like, all of them.
Right. Like, Gonzaga's like Harris Teeter, and Duke is like Food Lion.
Yeah.
And they just there.
What, Kansas is Wegmans?
Yeah. I accept that one, yeah.
Kansas is Wegmans.
Yeah. No, it that's Houston, actually.
Houston. But Houston, for a while, wasn't... The last time I think Houston ever got this much attention was Five Slamma Jamma.
Mm-hmm.
When Drexler and Olajuwon were all there.
Yeah. Houston's not... I mean...
Made a comeback.
Houston's made a big comeback.
And then, continuing on with the news, Jim Boeheim will not return next season as the head basketball coach at Syracuse. He is going to retire.
I think he deserves
to retire. That man has been there forever. He's won a national title with Melo.
Mm-hmm.
And Carmelo Anthony, not LaMelo Ball.
Not LaMelo Ball.
The real Melo.
Right. So, but he deserved it, man. He's going to take a break.
He needs to go to the Basketball Hall of Fame.
If he don't, it'd be stupid.
If he don't. The same with Coach K.
That don't make any sense. No. If they don't. Just like Devin Hester. I'm sorry, that's football. I know it's off the subject.
You don't think he should be in the Hall of Fame?
Devin Hester definitely should.
He should.
He should have went the first. He is
the best return kickoff
ever. Ever, man. There's never been a. And I mean, between him and Deion Sanders, you know. But
yeah.
Sorry, that was off subject. Next.
But what I think is a lot really interesting from a perspective aspect is how much we all can grow as people and how much we can really evaluate what's living in the moment. And I think we talked about it with everything with Ja Morant.
Mm-hmm.
You just kind of think of it as a perspective of what are we really searching for.
Right.
And kind of going into our mindful moment, I think it's really easy to kind of live it up when you think you made it.
Mm-hmm.
And Ja Morant's made it for a minute. Like, he was a household name at Murray State.
Big time.
And then standout rookie, you know, now the face of the Grizzlies, mm-hmm. the franchise player for the Grizzlies.
Yep.
And they haven't been strong since the Gasol-Randolph
era. Yeah.
So,
Mike
and
Miller.
even Conley at that point.
Conley, yeah.
Like, those guys were, that was a team that was consistent, not deep, not
hard
deep,
defense,
but consistent.
You're not scoring but 85, 90 points in the most.
But I think when you look at how people can move forward, it's transparent and you're just kind of understanding why are people acting this way? And we don't know why Ja did what he did. I'm sure he has to face the music for that.
I tell you, this is gonna change him. not change him as in who he is or how he acts. He's gonna change how he moves. He's gonna know, hey, this is a, I can't be doing this on a regular basis. Even if that is his character, you know what I'm saying? That's the way he is. He's not gonna put that type of, you know, rhetoric on social media, you know what I'm saying? Because that can cost him his money. He know now.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think with a lot of us out there, you know, the internet is everything. Mm-hmm. I think everyone looks at social media as like, it's a drug in a sense. So it might not be something that you take like medicine or caffeine, but it shows who you are within a certain degree. Might not be exactly what it gives people, and there's a lot of public opinion out there. I think, like you said, this John now has to walk differently.
Mm-hmm. A little differently, yep.
I also think, does it hurt his rep? I think in a way, not so far negatively as, say, like a Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
That? No.
No.
But it does, because Jalen Rose made that same point because he had gone through stuff
the whole
like
situation,
that.
Yeah.
And it changes you and how you walk, and it changes you. And Jalen Rose came down a time when there was no internet. Mm-hmm. There was no cameras. Now cameras are everywhere. Instagram Live is, and phones and internet
everything.
And everything. So you are being watched. You are
always being recorded.
So,
and I feel that, you know, when Jalen was coming up, he had his little situation, you know what I'm saying? It didn't hit as hard because it didn't get seen by every single person. Now this gets seen by multiple.
Millions
I'm talking about, I can't even tell you the numbers from what age group all the way up. So
it could be from 8 to 80.
Yeah.
Even kids have phones that they're looking up to you, because especially that whole city, mm-hmm. almost the next generation is looking at you because you made it. One of the faces of the NBA. One of the next generation of faces of the NBA.
But the crazy thing is that, you know, Nike basically told Kyrie to carry his ass, basically. And they're not doing the same with y'all.
No.
They're not doing the same with y'all. I think they're going to give y'all the benefit of the doubt. And let him ride.
Is that even fair?
No. It's not fair.
Let me rephrase that. Because fair is an aspect. I think fair is not the right word, because life isn't fair. Mm-hmm. I would say, do you think, I mean, Kyrie at that time,
my thing is not politically correct, because you're saying, hey, we're against this and this and that, right?
But we're allowing
violence and this type of talk and this and this and that. And I understand how you can.
Like, I know the league will come down on him as punishments. I think John knows, because he still has, you know, good people out there that are trying to get to him to tell him, hey, this is not it.
Right.
Like,
lucky he's young, yo.
He has plenty of time. I mean, he has plenty of time to fix it. He has plenty of time to correct it. But at the same time, a lot of people are just, well, you go out to the real world to do that, ain't nobody giving you a second chance.
Nope.
To be honest, the league was that strict, they definitely wouldn't give you a second chance.
But
think about this. The NBA is a business.
I'm about to say he's making the league a lot of money.
The NBA is a business. They're looking at him as a business asset.
As an asset.
You know,
he's making
risk.
A lot of money for this league. People want to see, you know,
jersey sales,
everything. And his shoes, you know, even though
they were ones.
I don't care what you say, they were the Kyrie's. But even though the Ja 1s, they're nice shoes, man.
Yeah.
They're really nice shoes. So I'm hoping that, you know.
You're hoping he'll turn it around.
Yeah, he'll turn it around, change his ways a team a bit, you know.
But time will tell.
Yeah.
So that's going to be it, guys. So I want to thank everyone for taking the time to listen, everything like that. And before we go, we are going to start with my schedule. So a lot of you don't know, I jack of all trades when jobs. Like, oh, yes. I teach, I announce, I ref. Ref, not so much, but so I will be announcing a lot more for the high school leagues on Friday nights.
Clap it up.
With the Virginia Beach High School leagues, mm-hmm. doing announcing for soccer, lacrosse, baseball, softball, trying to get more out there. But we'll probably be doing more moving from Fridays to Saturdays until summer hits, because that's just easier. And plus, you know, I would rather have a... I don't want to rush art.
Right.
Because this is an art form. You know, you can't rush arts. And I want every episode to be the best that I can do so that it's the best that you all can hear and the best that you all can keep coming back.
Right.
So at the end of the day, we're going to start moving our episodes to Saturdays. We are still trying to do Hooper Reflections. Mm-hmm. Especially, we're going to try to do more once the season ends with conference tournaments going on. And a big shout out to all of our athletes who have been on the show,
yes.
going through conference tournaments. We yes. wish them the best of luck, and especially trying to earn that ticket to the big dance. I wish you all the best of luck. Keep continuing to listen to the show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube. Keep following us on Instagram and Facebook and TikTok, everything out there. And then also give a follow to all the athletes who we have on the show. Give a shout out to Ishmael for coming on the show. Give him a follow. See the journey that he's been on and what the future holds for him. But continue to keep listening. Shout out to our sponsors, Boosted Biz, Kidichi Bear, Shop GLD. Another shout out to Moolah Kicks. Mm-hmm. Great women's shoe company, basketball shoe company. Big shout out to Grand Headbands out of Australia. You know, some of us would, you know, need a headband here and there. Some of us need a headband right. here and there. And then also some local businesses, you know, Sports Plug 757, you know, they're covering a lot of the basketball tournaments that are happening right now. I think a lot of the teams
good
right
coverage now
heading in the States.
Yeah.
And I did see that one Virginia school did make the Geico High School National Tournament. Mm-hmm. Paul the Sixth.
Oh, yeah.
Paul the Sixth. They were a fifth seed. So
they made it, though.
Good luck to them.
Yeah.
I know we want to shout out to all the teams that made it, but being a Virginia, you know, in the Virginia area, big shout out to them.
Mm-hmm.
Good luck to y'all. Other than that, guys, be safe. Keep listening, keep following, and remember, don't be a bystander. Be a hooper and keep balling. Peace.
Peace.